Sports Talk Radio for the Brainerd Lakes. 1380 KLIZ AM. Brainerd Baxter, the fan.
It's time for Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ, the fan. Featuring Colin McDonald and Chris Foley. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Craigan's Legacy Courses, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Rutgers Bay Lake Lodge, The Tea Hive, The Holiday Station on Mill Avenue, and Maury's Market. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com, sponsored by Mills GM. And now, here's Chris Foley and Colin McDonald for Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, streaming at KLIZ.com, available now at Podcast One as well. Streaming thanks to our sponsor, Mills GM, the home of affordable luxury, the 2019 Buicks. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks, Mac.
Another week in the books on the tour, and CT Pan wins, which was kind of an upset. He certainly didn't look like he would win after nine. I mean, he played fine, but had to have some guys fall away, and most surprisingly, most notably, Dustin Johnson with a very rare total collapse of Dustin's game. He's always right up there in every category you can think of, and he played like seven over par over four holes.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there, other than maybe fatigue just set in and
made
a couple bad swings. And surprisingly, that golf course does not set up well for Dustin Johnson. So it was a bit surprising. Well, it just shows you how great a player Dustin Johnson is. That's a short golf course. It does not play into his hands. It's the shortest golf course on the PGA Tour. It's tight. And just not a golf course for a bomber like Dustin Johnson, but just shows his versatility and how well he plays. And he's played I think he's played four out of the last 6 or 7 weeks, and
might have hit the wall.
Yeah, after a pretty good Masters, and it's maybe just wore out. But CT Pan, great story there. He hadn't really had not played very well. Rookie on tour, had not played very well for the year. He was going to stay home this last week because he was involved in a AJGA junior event in Dallas, and he was hosting 10 kids from the China national team in the event. And his wife said, after watching the Masters, she said, "I want to get to the Masters," and she said, You need to go play this week. And she kind of kicked him out of the house, and she hosted the kids and wins the event.
Yeah, he was very humble after, basically said, I've got to thank my wife because that's kind of how he got started. Somebody was, gracious enough to bring him over and kind of get him involved, and he's kind of paying it forward with these kids.
Exactly.
Trying to get the same thing to happen. So, yeah, pretty cool story, and I know that's an event you love and you're familiar with, and you're part of the country where you did some work there.
Yeah.
And
it's a great event.
Yeah, yeah.
And, quite a contrast from Masters Week, which is very intense, and, the Heritage is a low-key event. The players are out there having fun. The families are all there, and it's kind of for a lot of families, it's a spring break week, so it's a week at the beach and a good event. So
kind of the big exhale a little bit for
some
exactly.
of them.
On the women's side, we haven't talked a lot about the women's tour this year, but a lot of cool things happening, and quite a jam-packed leaderboard with lots of big names on it this week. And Brooke Henderson goes back to back.
She's won eight times now. 21 years old, won eight times, and is having quite a career, and maybe the best Canadian golfer ever.
I think eight is the record.
Yeah.
And she's tied it already with wins on tour, and it was kind of fun. They had the sister stories going. The Corda sisters were there, and the Henderson sisters, Brooke's sister, caddies for her.
Yes,
and then the Jutanagar sisters are just two of the best in the world, and they were all kind of in the mix in some way. The families were all kind of connected there coming down the stretch. But Brooke, she can really play.
One of the kind of sad stories of the tournament is Michelle Wee again injured, and Michelle Wee is just great for the ladies tour, and it's unfortunate. She's continues to be her re-injured her wrist, and announced yesterday she's going to be out kind of indefinitely until she can get healthy again. But she does just a great job of promoting the tour, and hasn't maybe had the career that we would expect, but you know, shows signs of greatness when she's healthy.
Yeah, she really does. Gracious and very popular on tour, and a fan favorite, certainly. So, yeah, tour could use her back, that's for sure. A couple of guests this week. Lucian Griniger is the new superintendent at Madden's. We're going to talk with Lucian. Kind of fun. He came down from Golden Eagle. He's been in this area for a long time, but taking over Madden's, big shoes to fill.
Big shoes to fill, replacing Scott Hoffman, and who was there, I guess, for 25-plus years. So big shoes to fill, but he's got a great great property to work with.
Another guest of the show and contact of yours, Jim Nugent's going to join us from Global Golf Post.
Yeah, Jim is the publisher of Global Golf Post, and they have a couple golf publications, and going to talk about those and some other interesting things in the world of golf.
We'll be back with that and more. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you. 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com and now available at Podcast One. Special guest with us today, Chris. I'll let you handle the introductions for us.
Yeah, I want to introduce Jim Nugent. Jim is the publisher of Global Golf Post, and we've got a lot of good mutual friends. Jim, it was great running into you at the Masters. I've wanted to have you on the
show.
Wanted to have you on the show for a long time because I'm such a big fan of your publications. There is so much out there today on the internet available in golf news and in content, and some of it's great and some of it's not so great, and I would rank you guys right at the top.
Well, thank you for your kind words about what we do at Global Golf Post. We appreciate that very much. We really do believe that one of the downsides of the digital revolution is the publication of really poor content, clickbait, for lack of a better word, wives and girlfriends and stuff like that. And we absolutely don't believe in that, and we're trying to demonstrate every day at our subscription website and every Monday in our digital edition that premium quality golf content can not only survive, but it can thrive in the digital era. And I appreciate you acknowledging that we're making progress on that.
Yeah. So Global Golf Post comes out every Monday morning. It's the first thing I read when I get up in the morning. And, you know, it really covers everything from men's and ladies professional tour, college golf, and really does a better job than anybody of covering the amateur game, which I'm a big fan of. I love the world of elite level amateur golf. And tell us about that, and then tell us about Global Golf Post Plus, which is a relatively new entry in the market.
You know, when I grew up as a caddy in the Chicago area many, many years ago, the newspapers paid attention to the local golf scene, and you could learn about and read about some of the better players in the area that you lived in. Sadly, newspapers don't cover golf to speak of anymore. Sometimes they don't even cover the PGA Tour. And as a result, there's virtually no coverage of the elite amateur game, mid-amateurs and senior amateurs, anywhere in the world. And so that's a void that we're very consciously trying to fill. We pay attention to the best players in the country, talk about where they're playing, how they're playing, and we feel that we're making a really important contribution to the amateur game in America by doing that. A great example of that you'll see this week at the site you referenced, Global Golf Post Plus. This is a four-month-old subscription site. Premium original quality content that you can't get anywhere else. And no advertising. And so we ask golfers to pay $60 a year for it. And it's a really wonderful user experience. And this week, there are two really important amateur events taking place, the Coleman Invitational down at Seminole Golf Club in Juno Beach, Florida, and the Champions Cup, a two-man affair being played at the Champions Golf Club in Houston. And we're going to cover both of those amateur events very well at Global Golf Post Plus, and we'll have the results, of course, the final results in Monday's digital edition.
Yeah, that's great. And so the how do they subscribe to Global Golf Post Plus?
You can go to globalgolfpost.com, and at that site you can sign up for both our free Monday edition and the paid subscription service, Global Golf Post Plus.
Perfect. Yeah, the I've got some close ties to the Coleman. My son's playing, or my son is a assistant at Seminole, and then I've got several of my good friends playing in the event. Gene Elliott and Mike McCoy and Nate McCoy, and it's one of the great events in amateur golf.
Absolutely, and this year they've brought in some really talented international players who are trying to add an international flavor to the field as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how those guys coming from other parts of the world can handle that pretty stout golf course.
That's quite a place.
Jim, I'm kind of struck by some of the things you said there. Well, I just kind of thought, you know, it's kind of a thinking man's game, golf, and plenty of room for long form or longer form informational type golf articles. And you're right about the PGA Tour. Like Heritage this week, you know, if we get one paragraph somewhere in a publication, I think one paragraph, I mean, well, how many guys played in this event, you know? And just because it wasn't Tiger winning the Masters, there's there's plenty of interest, in my opinion.
You're so right. You know, the majors get more than their share of coverage. What often happens is the tournaments that fall the week after, like Heritage did, they're virtually ignored. And that's unfortunate because Heritage was a great tournament, and the kid that won it's a really, really good kid too.
Yeah, great story, Jim. Last week, I believe you wrote the article about some proposed legislation in the state of New York that could have a huge impact on golf courses and the golf industry. And tell us about that article and what they're thinking about in New York.
Very frightening situation if you're a golfer. In the state capital of New York, in Albany, there is a piece of legislation that's been brought up that basically would cause golf courses to be taxed at a much higher rate. The property taxes would go up. And that obviously would have a dramatic impact on a lot of golf courses because it would have to be passed along to the consumer, either, you know, a dues increase if it's a private club or T-sheet increase for your playing ability to play at a daily fee course. A guy that I know who knows the New York golf scene told me that if the legislation is successful, perhaps a third of the 750 golf courses in the state of New York are facing imminent closure.
Wow.
So it's a very, very scary situation, and I'm not sure why golf has been singled out and why this legislator is picking on golf. Most people feel that at the end of the day, it's not going to advance. But the very fact that it's been brought up is going to embolden other taxing bodies, particularly those in, like, where I live, where you've got a state, Illinois, that's essentially broke. Somebody might get the idea that say, hey, look at what they're doing in New York. Let's do that here in Illinois. Let's do that in Chicago. And so this kind of thing could spread like wildfire. And what I'm urging the governing bodies in America, the USGA and the PGA of America particularly, we're going to have to invest more money in governmental relations, and we're going to have to do a better job of educating the public as to why golf courses and the open land that they offer our society is important and should not be treated unfairly.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. In the 1940s and 50s, when a lot of the great, you know, municipal and daily fee golf courses were built, they were built as assets to communities. And the intent was never really to make money on these golf courses, but break even and provide something to enhance communities' environment and culture. And for some reason in recent times that thinking has changed a great deal, and hopefully we need to change that trend.
Yeah, you're so right. And I think what's changing it is just this constant need for government to find more revenue through taxes. We're feeling pretty good here in Chicago because we had a mayoral election recently and the socialists beat the communists.
So we've got
that going
for us. Yeah.
But, you know, we know that anything that can be taxed in this city and in this state is going to be. And what it does, unfortunately, is it causes those who can, those who have the means to leave the state, you know, many of them are going to Florida. And so the burden of the tax increases falls to those who are maybe least able to afford the tax increases. So it's, you're not dealing with the smartest group of people in some of these state legislatures.
Anything that we can do at the grass level to help alleviate that? Or?
Well, mostly what you can do is just keep your antenna up. This thing in New York came out of nowhere, and I happened to find out about it very happenstance. And when I wrote this piece in Global Golf Post a couple Mondays ago, it set off all the alarms in lots of parts of the golf business because nobody knew that it had been introduced. And so what you and your listeners can do is if you hear of something like this starting to take shape, start to scream about it and make sure that it gets surfaced and make sure that other golfers know about it so that we can get organized early rather than late. You know, some of these things get enacted in the dead of night when nobody's paying attention. We have to be vigilant to watch out for that kind of activity.
Yeah, you'd think it would just backfire in a lot of ways. You close, just pick a number of golf courses in a single state. It seems like the neighboring state would think, well, we'll take all the golfers over here. You know, we're happy to build a couple golf courses and take all the New York golfers.
You know, think about a private club. How many jobs are you talking about if a private club decides to close? And what becomes of that land? You really want to have it developed and turned into another strip mall? And what about all the money that's raised during the year at golf tournaments and golf outings for charitable causes?
Right.
Cancer or breast cancer or Cadillacs involved with a liver program, a liver health program all across the country. There's an awful lot of charitable dollars that flow through golf that would disappear if golf courses started to face closure because they can't afford the property taxes.
And green space. Everybody in the world is screaming for green space. That's a golf course.
Well, green space is such an important part of our environment, and it's such a solution to some of the concerns people have about the environment. And so I think we need, as an industry, to get some environmental people on our side as well to say, no, wait a second, golf's really important. A golf course is like a park. Like a forest preserve. It's important to ecology. It's important to the environment. Let's not chase these people away because we want every last nickel that we can get.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing that information. And like I said, I love what you're doing with Global Golf Plus and Global Golf Host Plus.
Yeah, I think, Jim, I was just Googled you and looked at some things, and just the different headlines of articles that are featured in the archives are, I think, going to be of interest to a lot of people. A variety of topics and parts around the country, of course, the men's game, the women's game, the amateur game, and all the topics that are out there in the world of golf. Looks like very intriguing stuff.
I am blessed to have one of the most talented editorial staffs anywhere in the world. They're the people that brought this idea to life. They're the people that deserve credit. And so I appreciate your kind words, and I'm thrilled to be on your show, and I'm happy to do it anytime this summer.
Thanks very much, Jim.
Appreciate you having me on. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
That is Jim Nugent, and a very, very good periodical, Global Golf Post. Invite you to check it out. I think you're really going to like it. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ. Colin McDonald with you, along with Chris Foley, and streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com. That thanks to our sponsor, Mills GM. Chris, special guest. I'll let you handle the introductions, and certainly a course and property familiar to us, and now a new gentleman running the whole show.
Yeah, I want to welcome to the show Lucian Griniger, who is the new golf course superintendent at Madden's and the Classic. And gosh, you know, it's kind of like replacing John Wooden or a legend when you got to replace Scott Hoffman. But you got big shoes to fill. But want to welcome you to the area, Lucian.
Thanks much. Real big shoes to fill over there. He was there a long time. Oh, legend. Knows more about that property than probably anybody ever will.
Absolutely. You know, that's, you know, I always tell people superintendents are so underrated to the general public because they have, you know, you're just not cutting grass, that you have such an intimate knowledge of the whole property, and what's underneath the ground is what's on top of it. So it takes a while to, especially when you're on a property like Madden's, to get a feel for that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I've been this will be the sixth property, golf property, that I've been involved with. The last two were construction projects, so I at those properties knew everything about the property, and now come to this large property and know very little about it. So that's the frustrating or the change that I'm dealing with.
Tell us a little bit about your background.
Started working on golf courses in high school. My family was also in the golf management business, so got into that in high school and pretty much worked straight through my entire career. So I've been doing this since the early 80s. Ended up getting my training at Michigan State University at the 2-year turf grass program.
Great turf programs in the country.
Yep. Scott went through the exact same program, just ahead of me a little bit, and then moved through into some construction projects. Built a big golf course down in the cities, big housing development, and some connections there brought me up to the Lakes area. And I've been up in 50 Lakes for the last almost 19 years, and was had a you know, very lucky to have the opportunity to move down to Madden's.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's,
you were at Golden Eagle?
Golden Eagle Golf Club in 50 Lakes.
Yeah, you bet.
Time flies. It's hard to believe that's been 20 years or 19 years since that golf course opened. We're off to about an average start for the year. It seems late because we had some good weather early, but tell us about the conditions of not only Madden's, but all the golf courses in the area. We had a lot of snow cover, which generally is good for the golf courses. And
yeah, I don't think up here we were too worried about the conditions. We had good freezing temperatures. It's always good when the ground freezes first. Before we get that snow cover, so it's froze solid. That helps with the snow mold problems. And it was definitely froze solid. We got good snow at Christmas, whereas the city's got those pouring rainstorms.
Yes.
So they had some issues down there. But I think everybody up here was pretty sure we were going to be in pretty good shape. And we are all in pretty good shape, I think.
Yeah, sure seems like it. And so Madden's East and West golf courses are currently open, I think, right? And
the West course is open. We'll open the East with the Classic on Friday, this Friday.
Oh, fabulous. And, you know, the Classic, it's one of my favorite golf courses in the world. But tell us, any new things at the Classic or anything that's going on at Madden's?
They built a new ladies' tee on, I'm still trying to figure it out, number 12. I still haven't went around it first 1 through 18 yet, so I'm
right.
Still trying to figure out what they are. So that's probably about the only thing new over there at the Classic. We built a new green last fall. They did on the 15th hole at the East Course, you know, kind of behind the old one. It's kind of nice. We aren't in a big hurry to open that green as the old one is still in front of it, but we'll scrape that out when that one's ready. And I think the golfers will notice that significant difference there.
Yeah, you know, the storm that we had, the windstorm that we had guess it's been three summers ago, was devastating tree-wise. But, boy, I think it sure opened up some nice vistas and things at the East Golf Course. And, you know, I think turf conditions and just the views and the way the golf course plays have never been better.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. The trees are sometimes overrated on a golf course.
Absolutely.
You know, air on the turf, from your point of view as a superintendent, is nice. So.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Root, you know, the roots infringe on the turf's health as well.
Sure, yeah.
I love to study golf course architecture, and one of the one of the things that Dr. Alistair McKenzie always said, and George Thomas and some of the great architects, was that hazard should be on the ground and not in the air. You know, the golf courses that they designed were much wider, had very few trees, and we tend to fall in love with trees too much.
Especially up here in this part of the country.
We had our friend Bill Sinclair came by, and he's was superintendent, assistant superintendent at Torrey Pines for many years, and he and Scott were friends, and we played around last year at the Classic or 2 years ago, and he was very uncomplimentary of all the trees. He said basically the same thing. You know, this game's hard enough.
That's right.
You don't have to put a whole bunch of trees out on the course.
Mm-hmm. You know, the superintendent kind of works behind the scene, and most people don't have any idea what your day involves. Give us a typical day, you know, especially at a facility like Madden's, where you have you have three golf courses, you have a big crew. When does your day start, and what's a typical day for you once things get up and running?
Well, that kind of remains to be seen, I guess. I've only been there since the middle of November when everything was shut down, so we're just getting that operation going. I have key assistants at each segment of the property. It also includes the resort, which is an enormous part of the job at Madden's. So try to have a plan in place with my assistants, one at the Classic, one at the East and the West, and then I have a resort foreman as well. So meeting with those guys and having a plan in place. They each have their crew and typically direct that crew. But, yeah, I'm covering a very large piece of property. It's lucky if I can get around the whole thing a couple times a day.
Sure, absolutely.
By the time I'm dealing with this job, it seems like I'm a lot of what I do is make sure that my crew has all the materials and the direction that they need to go out and get it done. Where other places I've worked, I've been the lead point in all aspects of that. So trying to change my focus a little bit is a little difficult for me too after running things a certain way for a long time.
How about Madden's has kind of been ahead of the curve as far as maintenance practices go, and really kind of on the edge of, you know, fewer chemicals and more organic practices and that type of thing. And tell us a little bit about that.
We follow what we call the Greenway program there, and it's basically spraying minimal amounts of nutrients on the grass as the plant can use it. So you're not fertilizing the soil, you're maintaining that surface, as opposed to building the soil for a specific crop. So we're just giving the plant just what it needs as it needs it. So reduces the number, keeps the plant healthier on a more consistent basis, reduces some of the pesticides and fungicides we have to use by keeping the plant healthier, and eliminates the chances for runoff and erosion.
So environmentally, it's better for the environment.
Absolutely, and I think that's a focus of our whole industry, you know, as a whole.
For sure, the water usage and chemical usage.
Absolutely,
and, really getting back to more minimalist rather than, you know,
yes.
Green isn't necessarily the ultimate.
It doesn't have to be green all the time.
Lucian, this part of the country, you've been up here many years now, and when you're from a superintendent's point of view, what are things that you watch for as the season goes on that you might see develop just because of where we are and different seasonal things that can happen to the grass and those kind of things?
You know, it's probably not a whole lot different in this whole range of the upper Midwest here.
Yeah.
We tend to dry out here. We're in these pine moraines where everything's gravelly and sandy. So we do end up using a little bit more water than the clay-based heavier soils that they have down in the cities, at least the southern half of the cities. But you know, it's the drying. There really isn't a lot of nutrition in the sand that's up here. So the Greenway program, you know, that we're on, where you're feeding it minimal amounts of nutrients constantly, really is an advantage in these sterile sands here.
Yeah, it's interesting that we have tremendous drainage on the south end of the south end of Gull Lake, but that can be a good and bad kind of a double-edged sword.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Well, Lucian, we really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing us a little bit about your background in Maddens, and we'll look forward to getting out and playing those three great golf courses.
Hey, hopefully we can keep them great all summer.
Welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to 1380 KLIZ. This is Lakes, Woods, and Irons.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald. At 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you. 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, and the streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com, and also available now at Podcast One out there everywhere. Chris has a Twitter account as well and lets people know what's happening there. So kind of fun. We're getting quite a bit more podcast listenership. One thing nice, you can always listen back. And you can also always welcome at 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings and Wednesday nights at 6 right here on 1380 KLIZ. Chris, a little bit of that week after one of the great golf events in history, probably, when Tiger comes back and wins the Masters. So it's a little bit of a Tiger hangover probably for a lot of people. You know, they turn on the TV and where's Tiger? You know, but he's not there this next week. They've at the Heritage or wherever the case might be. An interesting article in Golf Works talking to Peter Mealy. He's director of the new 3M tournament in the Twin Cities, which is coming there. So PGA Tour coming back. They've already made some nice headlines. Big splash with Koepka and Mickelson. Jason Day, Bryson DeChambeau are all coming. Yeah. And he said his phone started ringing Monday and Tuesday, because there were some rumors that Tiger might play in the 3M. So then, you know, there's sponsors that want to get involved. You start talking about Tiger 2.0, the article says, and it's money to the PGA Tour when Tiger's involved.
It's huge. You know, and it's interesting. Tiger has started to commit further out for events. But so many times he doesn't commit until Thursday or Friday of the week before the event. So it makes it tough on sponsors, especially of a new event like the 3M is, they've done a fantastic job of getting a great field there already, but to have Tiger Wood there would be astronomical, and it would, you know, attendance would be maybe twice as much, and sponsorship dollars and everything that goes with it. Unfortunately, he probably won't commit until very close to the event, and especially, you know, with the way his health is right now, and I think he's always geared everything towards the majors. You're going to be right in between the U.S. Open and the Open Championship, so it will, you know, it'll be interesting to see what, if he does anything, what he'll do, and it would be fantastic for Minnesota golf and the 3M championship.
The whole analytics thing hitting the golf world and all through the sports world, I think Tiger especially, having had major injuries, and Phil and some of the guys, several guys in their 40s now, they just start to manage their bodies a little better and realize maybe something you don't, maybe when you're 30 years old, you think you can play almost every tournament during the year. But I bet even at that time, not noticing, your body's wearing down a little bit when you play. You talked about Dustin in the opening segment, playing maybe 5 weeks out of the last six, and maybe a little fatigue setting in. It's not as physically easy as it looks on TV.
No,
it's a tough game.
You know, people laugh about it, but to play, on the PGA Tour or play tournament golf, it's very mentally draining. You know, you're even if you're flying private, which maybe the upper 25% of the tour are flying private every week. The rest of the guys are flying commercial just like you and I. But to go from week to week to week, and you got to do all the other things of daily life besides play tournament golf, and you know, it's a, you know, you generally, the guys a lot of times they try to take Monday off, but they're traveling Tuesday. They may get in early enough to play some practice, get to the golf course, get a feel for the golf course on Tuesday, maybe play nine holes Tuesday. Wednesday, generally about 70% of the field is committed. They have to play in one of the pro-ams, and then the tournament starts on Thursday. And if they make the cut, they're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then they're packing up. They're leaving Sunday night and on to the next town. So it physically it's very demanding. If you're playing, you know, really good or really bad, it's really mentally demanding.
Yeah.
Even in the center, but a lot more goes into it than just teeing it up like we are on a Saturday morning four ball.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Time for the. Maybe the end of the day. Let's head for the 19th hole, shall we? With Lucian Griniger as one of our guests from Madden's, I'm sure we can find an excellent 19th hole at Madden's, maybe over at the Classic overlooking the golf course. 19th hole sponsored each and every week by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Thanks to them for sponsoring our 19th hole every week. We want to thank Jim Nugent from Global Golf Post, and it's a very good publication. You can just go on Google and start your free Monday subscription. And there's other options for you as well to expand that subscription. But, boy, very, very worthwhile. Global Golf Post. Just Google it and start your free subscription for Mondays. It'll show up Monday morning and review the week in golf and that kind of thing. Pretty good stuff. So, again, thanks to Jim Nugent from Global Golf Post and to Lucian Griniger, new superintendent at Madden's. Congrats to Lucian and hopefully a long run there. That does it for this week. You've been listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ, streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com and now available at Podcast One.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Craigan's Legacy Courses, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Rutgers Bay Lake Lodge, The Tea Hive, The Holiday Station on Mill Avenue, and Maury's Market. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com, sponsored by Mills GM. We now return to our regularly scheduled program at the Lake Sports Talk 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.